Welcome to the Get Together.
All over the world, there are people thinking about and creating a future of live digital events and performances.
They're disparate innovators who are artists, tech founders, nonprofits, and investors, and they need a place to gather and share ideas.
That's what the Get Together is all about.
I'm Jess, a theater creator who loves bringing people together around technology, art, and the internet.
And I'm Joe, a tech and media startup vet with over 10 years of experience growing and operating businesses.
Thanks for getting together with us. Let's dig in. So we just had our very first episode of the Get Together Live, which is inspired by this podcast and taken a little bit from our weekly Clubhouse conversations we've been having. And my takeaway, Joe, really is, can we just dump everything else we're doing and build a multinational theater company with a subscription model?
Yes, done and done. Easy. Why not?
Like, kind of only half joking.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. If you didn't join us today, first and foremost, we're live on YouTube every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's United States and the United States, for those of you around the world. And it is a group of the most extraordinary creative. It's like the band of, what is it? The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, except we're not all gentlemen.
Of all like the super groups that you could have picked, like that, like old British white men.
Yeah, but I like the name of it. This is really good. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a great name for a group of people. And these people are extraordinary. See how my brain works?
It's great. And they're all gentlemen. We kicked out all the women. Yeah. Just to keep up with the current Supreme Court.
Yeah. Oh, womp, womp, womp. Yeah. Hopefully this is a couple weeks later and someone has stopped crying about the Supreme Court nonsense that's happening today. But yeah, anyway, we talked about a really cool article. A new theater here in Brooklyn, in New York, Super Secret Arts, is doing a subscription model. And we got talking about all the different ways like that can impact, you know, running a theater, creating new work in this new era that we find ourselves in. And yeah, I definitely just walked away and I was like, oh my God, the time is now. Like, strike while the iron is hot. Someone should do this right and like completely upend. And I was like, but wait, all eight people are sitting right in front of us right now.
mm-hmm. It's time. The time is now. Super Secret Arts. I like that they're in the mix. I like that they are so physically close to where I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And at the end of our conversation at the Get Together Live, I was joking. Well, no, I wasn't joking. That's what I want to say. I wasn't joking about getting a subscription, $25 a month, and I can go whenever I want to a show. So I'm going to wait until I'm officially not testing positive for COVID anymore. Then I'm going to get myself a subscription and go check out this this physical space, the art that they're putting on, and help support a model that I think has problems from a financial perspective. Yeah. But that I love aspirationally.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Justin suggested to us, we need to just say yes to things, because how in the heck are we ever going to try and build and grow and learn, right? Which is like a lesson we all could take from the tech companies, I think, those of us that do other things.
Yeah. What was that old adage in the tech world? Move fast and break things.
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Holmes quotes that and Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that age well.
Yeah, not really.
Move fast and break the American democracy.
That's definitely, I think you're going to want to listen to that, especially if you're not just like in the theater or you're not in the theater at all. Like, this is a conversation that involves folks that are involved in digital, film, theater, Web3, just fans of live entertainment.
It's freewheeling. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's as interesting as this show, not more.
You're biased. As interesting. Yeah, what'd you think? What'd you think coming out of that conversation?
I really appreciated the people who were on there, because I feel like often when you and I are talking, or even on Clubhouse generally, that I find myself in a position where, like, if only we had someone who knew a little bit more about this, or, oh, I'm so curious about that. And this was one of those articles where I was like, how much does a space in Gowanus cost to rent? And, you know, we happen to have had someone on that, you know, knows the intimate details of renting a performance space in the Gowanus neighborhood. We didn't specifically get into that number, but that was a thought on my mind. And there was the human there with the insight and the knowledge to do it, to answer that question. And I felt similarly with both Louisa and with Justin, where, you know, there are many questions that go unanswered in some of these conversations that were able to be answered in the moment. And it just showed the power of getting the people together who are interested in this stuff, experienced in this stuff, want to talk about this stuff, all in one conversation.
Yeah, and I thought with Katie Braverman too, that the perspective of someone who does subscribe to arts organizations in her community, I think she's in Sacramento, like that's something that's like missing a lot, I feel like, in all of the theorizing that not just we do, but generally folks in the arts and entertainment industries in general. And I think that's like actually one of my very favorite things about this group of people and the conversations we have, is just that ability to look on 360 degrees of the sides of the thing.
And that's fun. I was just thinking about that in terms of like, you know, in our democracy, you know, there's like public advocates and things like that, mm-hmm. like a little role that's just meant to represent the interest of the public, kind of against the political interest and the elite right. interest and whatnot. And so one, it's fun to be the elites in that conversation. And two, it's nice to like very easily and very earnestly give representation to someone who's like, hey, I'm just a fan and I want to be part of this world and yeah. I want to be a subscriber and I want to know what's going on and I enjoy these conversations. And like, I like that it wasn't like a conscious effort to find a person who represents that, but rather we were just like, oh, this person's our people.
I mean, I'm going to just say that's the best part. Everything we talk about today, it's all the best part. But that's another great part of this, is like all these folks, every single one of them, we either met, well, yeah, through anybody who's not working for our company, we met through having this conversation across the year, or just other similar sort of endeavors outside of these conversations, and being able to, like you said, find our people and have them have such diverse backgrounds and experiences and agendas, you know, and what they're trying to change in the world through their work. I just kind of catching myself thinking like, this is the exact like job I want and wanted to have, you know, if I could dream of like how to spend my time, part of our time being getting to talk to these people about these ideas and thinking and stretching each other to grow and reconsider positions. Like that's it. That's the good stuff. At least, I don't know, for me, and it seems like for you too.
It's on the list. It's definitely on the list.
What else was, I know you said you wanted to talk a little more about sort of the idea of a Netflix for performance model. What else was on your mind?
Well, I just want to rehash that I hate that comparison, that sort of take the thing that everyone knows and like use it as a marketing ploy, which actually that is a place I want to get into, which is I do think that this as a concept is a great marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Which I think means it'll work once or twice and maybe continue to work in a very niche way, but that you have to be sort of the first out with that marketing ploy for it to work. And so I think and I hope that Super Secret Arts, by leveraging sort of this approach and this story that they're telling and getting people excited around the idea of like, oh my God, a Netflix wide performance. Brilliant idea. Why hasn't that existed? Mm-hmm. It's like a million reasons why it hasn't existed. Yeah. But I one, hate it, and two, appreciate that someone's trying it, someone's doing it. Because from, like, a side of, you know, the actual, like, I can't get myself beyond the economics of why it's not Netflix for live performance.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, there's both the repeat watching, which plays into why Netflix works and why Spotify works. Mm-hmm. It's like, I will go back and listen to songs over and over and over again. That's how I extract value from the subscription that I'm sort of making, and each of those additional streams costs Spotify essentially nothing.
Yeah.
Same thing with Netflix. You know, I can watch movies over and over again. I can bounce around, and each additional stream that I'm getting utility from doesn't cost them anything to give me.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like is not the case in a physical performance space with live people putting on things. Like there is hard cost every single time anything is consumed,
yep.
Which is I think one of the big things that breaks down in this model. But that doesn't mean that a subscriber marketing ploy, you know, with a really good story and a really good sort of niche that they're appealing to, catering to, helping people see themselves inside of, like, won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just requires that maybe it needs to be a little bit more expensive than $25 or not. Maybe you just need a zillion people who sign up because they care about it, because they want it to exist, but don't actually take up that physical space that cost them money to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for it to try. And like I said, I want to be part of that test. And $25 to experiment is so cheap. And I get a show out of it, at least one show. But yeah, I like can't help but chafe at the comparison to Netflix because it's just not the same. Like, unless they're starting a streaming platform.
Well, that's, I think, like, why I said at the beginning of this conversation, like, let's just dump it all and do this. I feel like so much of the stuff that we've learned across our work in live digital is so integral to making something like this work. And I think it can be done. And I think the work that Super Secret Arts is doing is hugely important. Do you know what I mean? And I know that Louisa pointed out they are going to add live streaming, which is exciting and all of that good stuff. But, like, I'm really interested in the idea of a model in a theater like this. Two places I'm interested in. One of which I was talking a little bit about, which is like, who says it has to be one single theater? You know what I mean? If we're just going to break all the rules and reinvent all of this, like, I'm really interested in what's possible when your subscription gets you more access in order to leverage more content and material. And I'm also interested in the idea that you could potentially start this as a nonprofit just to get it going. And that if you have 6 or 7 shows or 20, you know, if you're a really, really generative theater, you are a nonprofit to get going and it's earned income. You know, you're like Idealist and the job board where they really didn't have to do too much with individual donations and things like that. It was just like earned income on the job board. And you start back cataloging all that freaking theater live. You know what I mean? And then 10 years from now, 5 years from now, whatever it is, there's probably a moment where you can switch over to a for-profit model, you know, if you wanted to. You don't have to, but if you wanted to, because you've got enough, you know, we talk about sometimes like live streaming things live where you don't know which, you know, recording of which performance you're going to see if you happen to tune in that night or whatever it is. I just think there's so much possibility in the idea of just like leaving behind everything we think we know about a theater and a subscription.
I'm like a little stuck in that like marketing side of things again. So like back in the beginning, how do you get this thing jump-started, kick-started? Mm-hmm. And it seems like choice of content is like a big, like, it's a big piece of what you have control over. It's sort of like, who are we giving space to? And I think part of their objective is like give space to as many people as possible, kind of anyone who wants to come. But if it does come to a, like a curatorial place, or, you know, they'll set a certain intention in terms of like, here's what this space can both physically do and support, but also like, here's the vision of this space. And it attracts, I think, a certain type of performer, a certain type of artist, just based on its own ethos. And so using sort of like social media content marketing flywheel in terms of the type of creator that chooses to come into there is going to, you know, be socially forward or somehow controversial feels like the wrong word, but it's that idea of like individual content creators will be on the bleeding edge of what is most sort of interesting and or attention grabbing. And so they just kind of both help that person create that content that can then be leveraged in a social media fashion. And that helps then sort of circularly around like drive promotion for Super Secret Arts because they are sort of underneath their foundational to the creation of that content that then in theory goes viral in some way or has some sort of success, you know, that's partnering with people to put things into TikTok or something like that. So using this other model of marketing that already exists, which is, yeah, that sort of individual creator led inside of a social network, but giving them physical space to sort of up level and or augment what they're already doing in a social fashion. And so like leaning into that, because that marketing sort of pipeline, it's not a pipeline, whatever, that marketing device that is social media, like, is already happening. And it's, can this space physically like tap into that through the art and creators that it supports? Does that make sense to you in terms of like, I don't think, again, it's not all the way curatorial, because they're I don't think they're going to be in a position to like really sift through a zillion different people. But the idea that they would like establish themselves with an ethos that has that sort of marketing channel in mind, where it's like each of these individual creators that's going to come into here is going to, by promoting themselves, promote us, and we're going to help them promote themselves and promote us. Yeah. And it doesn't just stop at sort of like the subscribers that Super Secret Arts brings on and the performance that happens inside of its doors.
I think that's exactly what we would recommend to someone, right? Because the question always for us when we're talking about anything that starts verging on live digital is, it's not the end, beginning and the end, that when that broadcast happens, right? What are you doing? Anything that's video based in any manner, which you could argue even in-person theater that doesn't have a digital element almost always has a contract to be able to shoot video, right? For marketing and stuff like that. So always you have to ask this question of, what are you doing to get beforehand to get audiences in, i.e. the marketing flywheel of social platforms, but we're talking about creators that are wildly creative. So like there's some more opportunity there than for a theater that's doing, to Jermaine's point today, Music Man for the 900th time. So what are you doing to get bucks
more
in
Music
seats?
Man.
Yeah, exactly. That's really the takeaway from this podcast is more Music Man. Poor Music Man. What are you doing to get butts in seats beforehand? That's the thing you just described. And how are you putting all that video content to work for you afterwards to attract new audiences, right? That's the exact thing that we recommend to people and sit and try to strategize about, like, what are the right choices for each or any of our individual live digital content customers. So yeah, I definitely think that's a very strong play.
I love it. I also want to take it back quickly to curation, because I'm curious your thoughts on this. But like, I don't actually know how a theater is structured in terms of sort of, demand. No, what is it? It's supply of performers? Yeah, the supply of performers to come rent the space and put on a show. Rent the space, air quotes. Like, is there someone in that role that's actively sort of courting and trying to bring people in to use the space, actively sort of promoting Super Secret Arts in this world? And I was just thinking about like those amazing women who did the Bridgerton musical on TikTok, right? And if you're like early enough, you know, they have yet to win that Grammy, they have yet to like become catapulted to sort of like the public square in the way that they are. But if you were just like seeing that and like you caught the early buzz of it and like the Taylor Lorenz article about why it's cool and interesting, and you reach out to them and be like, oh, what's up, y'all are in New York, do you want to come and put on a thing at Super Secret Arts? Right? And they're like, oh, hell yeah. Like, we're just kind of doing this anyway. And we've got like a cool, fun following on TikTok, but like, we're not big, we're not real, we're not famous. And like, sort of, you capture that little bit of moment that's happening pretty much exclusively on the internet, and you say, hey, we'll give you a little bit of real world space to play around with it a little bit more, just to do it for your friends, just to have some other version of it that exists in physical space, a little bit more live, a little slightly different energy. Record it, create more content, and then that just feeds back into the TikTok loop. Who should be out there sort of like actively saying, hey, Bridgerton musical peoples, what's it, Bear and something?
Where did that go? That's sort of what, oh, Circle Jerk, right? That's what's happening with Circle Jerk.
I don't know what that is.
I did realize I just said that so matter of fact. Like, it was not, I was not saying the word circle jerk. You're welcome, everyone. I'll put the link in the show notes. But Circle Jerk was like this show that happened in quarantine digitally that was just insane. And I think was it was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. And they're about to do thoughts about that. But it's what reminds me of that is like online phenom, you know, moving to in person. But the answer to your actual question is tricky and probably really simple all at the same time, right? So like back to how our theater's structured, it just depends, right? It's like a place like Theater Me Too, where our friend Michael, who joins us for the Get Together Live, is an associate artist at. They are curating their own work. They are developing programs that people can apply to based on their, what we would, you know, say as a mission or a thesis as a company. So in that way, it's a little, and they're giving them space, right? And then they probably just have a straight up rentals division where you're just like, do you want to rent this? Great. And so like something like what you're proposing kind of just ends up, I think, having to be the Casper model, the direct to consumer model, right? Like, and the question becomes, other than DMs on Twitter, like how do we allow people a marketplace for people to contact each other directly, and how do you, you know, how do you account for the 1% of the not famous shows, the Bridgerton before it was a thing, and like the 99% of stuff that would be on a marketplace where you're like, I have no fucking idea if this is good or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's back to like the curatorial. If I have super secret arts, I'm asking people to pay that $25, then I have to be, I'm kind of like promising that there will be at least something of interest mm-hmm. on the stage, or at the very best, like every single thing is something I might want to go see.
Yeah, that's why I think there's so much promise in a coalition of theaters that are super mission-based in of this moment, right? It's like when I think about Justin's, you know, space in London, Broadgate, I trust that anything I see is going to be interesting there because of the mission and the pulse behind what they're doing. It qualifies as interesting for me. I saw anything. And I think that way too about like Me Too, where Michael works, same thing. Like, have I seen some stuff there that was like probably by all, you know, in accounts, not performance ready? Yeah, sure. But I really enjoyed something about seeing it. You know what I mean? Like, so the idea that you could connect these opportunities for a different strata of theater, the try-its, the yeses, like Justin was saying, the just say yes theater that's deeply rooted in like opening pipelines and providing space and equitable pay, like Michael was talking about today. Like, I'm going to feel really good about my $25 a month going to that. And I'm certainly going to and not feel like my time was wasted until you lose my trust as the, you know, thing mm-hmm. I'm subscribing to.
Got me thinking about a platform.
Yes.
And it relies on like a trove of human beings looking through subreddits and or the new page and upvoting, downvoting, commenting, interacting.
Right.
And that's what gets propagated to the homepage for the lurkers like myself who just kind of go for...
Drop in
entertainment nonsense. But like without that sort of base layer of... people interacting with things, commenting on things, mm-hmm. chatting with each other, posting things, like nothing could possibly ever trickle up because it doesn't exist.
Right.
There is no engagement. And I feel like why a Reddit works is because people are weird on the internet but also want to express themselves, and it becomes an outlet like for the sort of inner reflection of themselves. Like, this is a thing I am interested in. This is a thing I have concerns or care about, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a specific topic or it's like literally being the person to decide what is interesting on that new page, mm-hmm. clicking up, clicking down. And it just like Reddit just allowed people to like leverage it at scale. It attracted right. enough people through a weird little community that then blew up and grew bigger and became self-reinforcing. And so it's like, how do you find that person or that type of person yeah. in a situation like this? Or is that like part of the ethos of what super secret arts has to like sort of put out there and be like, this is who we're looking for, this is who we are, mm-hmm. you know, we want to be experimental and curational mm-hmm. a little bit, and we want to take risks, and we want to have things that suck, and we're gonna have things that are great.
Yeah.
And like that's part of the fun. Makes me think a little too as well about, I can't remember if it was like Home Goods or Marshall's or one of these TJ Maxx or one of those types of stores. And they like came over too quickly, like they couldn't index it fast enough to be successful in an online store fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of like changed that into a superpower. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, like you can't get any of this stuff online.
Right.
And we get shipments every week. And so you have to come in person and it's a treasure yeah. hunt.
Tuesday right? morning.
Like, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Story?
So it's like a treasure hunt. And like now it's part of what people seek out when they go to that yeah. store. I wish I can remember which store.
No, Tuesday morning was literally that. They get the shipment on Tuesday morning. That's why it was called Tuesday morning. And it was like a, yeah, like a TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't buy anything online.
Yeah. And so, like, does an institution like Super Secret Arts kind of have to lean into the thing that could be viewed as a fault, right? Oh, it's not known enough to be indexed.
Yeah.
We care a ton about giving a voice to people who can't otherwise have it. And I don't know how exactly to market it, because I'm sure there's a ton of theaters that are trying to do something similar. But if you like capture the right voice there and you make it kind of playful and exciting and like build into the expectation that you might see something that's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, you haven't lost the trust of that person because that's why you've signed up and that's the experiment that you want to be yeah. along for the ride with. And like, are there enough of those people to support a theater like this?
Yeah. And then you just have to like keep up the work. That's where I was saying, like, so I definitely agree. I think it's like an identity play if it's going to work in the theater, but you have to keep producing the kind of work and the mission propelling it that I signed up for in the first place. Cause I feel like that's a risky place for a theater, you know, because you can get lost sometimes in your mission. And we're humans, right? We're humans leading theaters and stuff like that. We make mistakes. But yeah, no, I think that's super interesting. And right, this is what I kept thinking about all this conversation is then all of the things that you just described, it makes me think of all these other cool things you can start building in based on like what we know, which is something you were sort of just like tiptoeing over, which is like build in then stuff at the theater that you can only go see in person and you can only pay for outside of your subscription. You know what I mean? And have it be a couple times a year and be really special. Like there's all those things that we talked about in the early days of Ply and Demand and the addition of a digital space for your theater increase the value of the in-person experience. Like I think this is all in play in this model. And I think it's really cool.
Curious too, like with that and like the digital extension of something like a Super Secret Arts, like, do you know if that exists already? Like, could we tune into something like tonight if we wanted to? Or is that like a, hey, this is coming in theory in the future?
I don't know, actually.
But yeah, but it was like said a couple of times across our conversation earlier today on the Get Together Live. And I was like, oh, wait, does this already exist? Or is this a future aspiration?
Yeah, because that big article came out, what, a month ago or something like that?
Yeah, at least a few weeks.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I will be very interested to see how this all goes down and am excited for you all to tune in to the Get Together Live next week. Like we said, we're live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern, all on camera.
I know it sounds trite, but like that really was another fun conversation. And it's literally scripted. Well, that was fun. And then we tried not to say, well, that was fun. It was honestly kind of fun again. But thank you to everyone for listening and being part of the Get Together.
The goal of this podcast is to bring people together and have these important conversations. So share this with someone who is as frank as Joe is.
I'm going to tell you what I think of that bad performance in Super, Super Secret Arts.
Oh, man. Or who would be interested in the Get Together Live, which is a conversation with a bunch of other smart people. People probably smarter than us, honestly. So yeah, give us a share if you care to.
I'm Joe.
I'm Jess.
And we'll see you back here next week.
Bye.